We're going to do something a little different, and y'all just stay on your feet for just a second. And we're going to pray for our kids here in a minute. But as I was thinking about this, and I was thinking, well, why do we pray? Well, the Bible tells us to. In Philippians 4:6, it says, "Do not be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God." So when I read that and I think, how many parents today are anxious about their kids starting school? How many kids are anxious about starting school? How many teachers are anxious about going back? And that anxiety can build and can build and can build, but it says that we're to pray in every situation and with thanksgiving. So when I read that, what I think of is with thanksgiving is, God, can you take care of this situation for me? God, I'm so thankful that you're able. Knowing that He is able in every circumstance, in every situation. And then in 2 Chronicles 7:14, it says, if my people, are we God's people? I hope everybody's God's people today. If my people, who are called by my name, will humble themselves. You know, when I read that, I don't think I've ever preached on this verse, but maybe I need to one of these days, because when I was reading this, it really spoke to me. Will humble themselves, and that's saying, I can't do this. God, I need you. I need your intervention. Will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And when I see that, seeking his face, that's not seeking what the world has to offer, that's seeking God wholeheartedly. And turn from their wicked ways. Then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their lands. The Word tells us that we are to pray. God commands us here to repent, to turn from our sins, to seek His face, to humble ourselves under His mighty hand. And the last verse I'm going to share before we pray together is 1 Peter 3:12. And it says, for the eyes of the Lord are on the righteous and His ears are attentive to their prayers. That's amazing to me to think that God's eyes are upon us this morning and that His ears are listening to the prayers that we are going to offer up. The Creator of the whole universe, His eyes are on you this morning. And so I know not everybody is comfortable with coming up or anything, but what I would really like to do is our kids come up, if your parents want to come, your grandparents want to come with you, if our teachers will come up, and then anybody else that would like to come up and just kind of gather here, and we're going to say a prayer over them. And you know, I was thinking about Matthew 6:7, and it says, and when you pray, do not keep on babbling like the pagans, for they think they will be heard because of their many words. God's looking at our hearts this morning and our prayer for our kids, for our teachers, for our parents. And so if you don't want to come up, if you're not physically able to come up, you don't feel comfortable coming up, you stay where you're at, just reach out your hands here in a minute. But all of our kids, parents, teachers, if y'all will come up here and just gather and let us pray over you. We're close enough. I'm going to lead us, but I ask that you guys would all pray in your hearts also, okay? Dear Lord Jesus, I lift each and every one of these children up to you. Father, what a blessing each and every one of them are. Lord, I pray that you would protect them, that you would watch over them as they go to school, that you would give them wisdom. Father, I also pray that your light would show through each and every one of them, that their teachers, that the kids around them might say, what's so different about them? And that they would be able to testify, it's because of you, Jesus. Father, I pray for our teachers that you would impart your wisdom upon them. Lord, that they would see the situations, that they would know where to show love, where to show discipline, where to show kindness and compassion. Father, that their ears would be attentive to what your Holy Spirit's speaking to them, Lord, that with every child, with every circumstance, that they might know how to show your love to those children and that you would watch over them and protect them. Father, for all the parents that may be nervous, that may be anxious, Lord, some may be thankful right now too. Father, that Your hand would be upon them, that You would give them peace, that they would not feel any anxiety. Lord, may You lead and guide each one of these children, each one of these teachers, each one of these parents. May Your will be done in all their lives. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. Amen. Thank You, church. Y'all can go back and be seated. And kids, I think you're going to head down with Samantha now. So I really thought that I would want to preach about prayer since we just prayed for the kids. But I had something so burning in my heart. And that usually happens when I come back from vacation. When I was laying on the beach, y'all don't be jealous, okay? When I was laying on the beach and staring out at that ocean, the Lord was speaking to me on a lot of different issues, mostly about me and what I need to straighten out in my life. But one of the things that I felt like he was talking to me about, and it's kind of interesting because Jacob mentioned it last week in his service in Luke, or Mark 12. I guess I better flip my Bible there. Mark 12, verses 30 and 31. And Jacob had read these verses, and they were already on my heart and mind. He was talking about it to get back to the basics. But what I want to talk to you about today, what I titled this message, is Truly Loving Your Neighbor. See, one of the things that the Bible talks about in the last days is going to be a lack of love. And I see that happening. There's a lack of love for the people around us. There's a lack of love and concern for those around us. And so Mark 12, verses 30 and 31 says, "Love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul and with all your mind and with all your strength. The second is this, love your neighbor as yourself. There is no commandment greater than these." And so these are the two commandments that sum up all the laws, is what Jesus is saying, and how we're supposed to love God and how we're supposed to love our neighbor. In Luke 6:46, he says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say?" So he's saying, you call me Lord, but you don't do what I say. Well, what is he telling us to do? He's telling us how to love him and how to love our neighbor. So why aren't we doing it? Why aren't we doing what the Word says? In Mark 3:35, it says, "Whoever does God's will is my brother and sister and mother." And there, his disciples were saying, "Your mom and your brother's outside." And he's like, "I'm going to tell you who my mom, who my brother, who my sister is. And it's whoever does God's will is my brother, my sister, and my mother." So we see what he says to do, to love him and to love our neighbor. Why do you call him Lord, Lord, and you're not doing this? If you're really my brother, if you're really my sister, then you're doing what I command you. You're doing God's will. Acts 2:42, and this is the example of what the New Testament church was, and really it should be our example today. But it's not the example of the Americanized church. It's really not, but here's the example. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles. Did I tell you that's Acts 2:42? I'm sorry if I didn't. Okay. They devoted themselves to the apostles' teachings and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled in awe, and many wonders and miraculous signs were done by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common, selling their possessions and goods. They gave to anyone as he had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. They broke bread in their homes and ate together with glad and sincere heart, praising God and enjoying the favor of all the people. And the Lord added to their number daily those who were being saved. They had everything in common. You know, the thing is not all of us have everything in common here. And I don't think that that's what he's talking about. Like, some of you are love to read a good book. I hate reading. Tim has gave me audio books because he knows. He's like, "Man, this is such a good book. You need to read it." And he knows I don't read. And so he's given me audio books that I can listen to. I hate reading. Some of y'all, the only thing I read is the Bible, devotionals, in news, but the news is getting less and less. I'm trying not to read the news as much because it's just depressing and sad. So, I don't think it's meaning everything in common like that. Some of you like vegetables. I like steak, you know. Some of you like salads. I like cheeseburgers. You know, we're not going to have everything in common. I love a good cheesecake and ice cream. You know, some of you, your dessert might be Brussels sprouts. I don't know, but we're not having everything in common. That's not what it means, but there was a common goal of, we love you guys. We love each other. You know what an awesome feeling it is to know that someone loves you and has your best interest in mind? I mean, and to love people like that, to love them, that you have their best interest in mind. And they had this commonality, and they were selling their possessions, making sure nobody was doing without. They continued meeting together, and their numbers were growing because why? Who wouldn't want to be a part of that? Who wouldn't want to be a part of what that's growing into? What's that becoming that we all love each other so much? We're all in love with each other so much that I want to be a part of that. I want to be a part of what God's doing when we love each other like that. And what really got me thinking about all this was dolphins. So I remember it was Hayden's senior year that he graduated. I can't remember what year that was. But we went to Yellowstone, first time I'd ever been out west, and it was such a fun trip. It was a tiring trip, but it was such a fun trip. But I remember my buddy at work told me, he said, the first time you see a buffalo, he said, you're going to be so excited. You're going to be like, wow, there's a buffalo, and everybody's going to jump out. And he said, by the end of the trip, you're going to be like, there's another buffalo, because you're going to see so many buffaloes. But we were so excited to go out there and see all that and travel and do. And where I'm going with all this is there was just an excitement and a happiness and a joy of being together. Well, when we were at the beach, I was laying there and the buffalo became a common thing. The dolphins aren't that common. And so there, I don't remember, was it two or three mornings we saw dolphins? I can't remember. But we would all get excited when we'd see the dolphins, and they'd start jumping and everything. Well, one morning, they just stayed like out in front of us for quite a while. And I really, we were trying to count, and there was either five or seven or four. You know, they're moving and everything. But at one point, we saw them circling, and one of them starts splashing and flapping its tail. It looks like you're at SeaWorld, they're putting on a show, and it's splashing and slapping its tail. And I'm like, isn't that so cool? The dolphins are splashing and slapping their tail. But that got me thinking, why is that dolphin doing that? Well, I thought there's two ways that I could go with this message. One is Satan surrounding you, slapping you, and that's what Satan likes to do. But the way I want to go with it is when I looked at it and if we got any science teachers in here, I'm probably going to butcher this, so I'm sorry up front. The kids are gone, so I'm not teaching them any bad lessons here. But this is per Google, okay? The dolphins swim in pods, and the pods can be anywhere from just a few, and it said there's even some massive pods that get up to 100, per Google, okay? They swim, but when they are hunting, they hunt in unison. And they'll circle fish, and they'll get going really fast in a circle to keep all the fish in a fish ball, is what it called it. And then they'll dart through and start eating. And sometimes one will raise up its tail and start slapping to either stun the fish or knock it into the other dolphins towards them, because they're hunting together and working together so beautifully. And reading and studying this, it made me think of that's how we as believers ought to be. Working together so beautifully that everybody eats, that everybody is taken care of, that nobody's left behind. It said on occasion dolphins will not be part of a pod necessarily and eat on their own, but most of the time they stay together and they work together. That's what the Bible was describing the church, as they all came together, they ate together, nobody did without. There was a love, there was a compassion, there was a feeling, and people wanted to be part of that. Because I want to be part of people who care about me. I want to be a part of something where people love me and they want the best for my life. And why would people not want to be part of that? Why? And that's why their numbers were added to daily and daily and daily. And when I was thinking about this and I was thinking, do you guys know I love you? Do you really know that? I mean, you might say, well, you don't ever call me, you don't come to my house, you don't, believe it or not, I pray for every one of you. Not every day, not every one of you every day. There are times in the middle of the night that I just wake up and you guys, I just start praying for you. And I, Lord, I don't know why this person's on my mind. There's people that don't even go to church here anymore, and I'm praying for them. I don't get up here every Sunday. I don't prepare in the week. I don't meditate on God, please speak through me, because I like it. It's because I love God first and because I love you guys. I was thinking, sometimes we all show love. There's the love languages and all that. We all show love in different way. We all receive love in different way. Different things mean different things. I'm a baby. I like my back scratched and rubbed. Crystal don't want to be touched. Don't do that to me. Well, I'm trying. No. Well, I love my back scratch. She don't scratch her back. We like that. You know, we're all different, and there's different ways that we show love to one another. But do you know, really, that you are loved here? I don't know if we always feel that, because Satan will lie to you and tell you that you're not loved, that you're not cared for, but you really are. I want to go to Romans chapter 12, and it's really kind of neat, because when I was going to get food yesterday for the family, I heard a message, and it was on Romans chapter 12, and I'd already had my sermon prepared, and I thought, well, this is kind of cool, so I'm going to get to hear a different take on it. Romans 12:9. It says, love must be sincere. When I think about that, I know I get manipulated by people at different times. Have y'all ever been manipulated by somebody and you recognized it, but you went ahead and let them do it? I mean, I have. You know, they're feeding me a line and it's just like, whatever, but yeah, okay. Go ahead. You know, I know they're just trying to use me. But love must be sincere. And that's where I believe it's something that only God can give us, and we'll probably get into that more in a minute, but love must be sincere. Hate what is evil and cling to what is good. You know, when we see people, co-workers, even people in the church and everything, and we know they're getting off track, we know they're doing wrong, and we're so scared to say anything. But we're really to hate what is evil. We're really to hate it and not allow it in our homes, not allow it in our lives, but that doesn't take away from us loving and caring for that person and wanting to put them back and minister to them and show them the way and cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another in brotherly love. So you know what that means? That doesn't mean just the person sitting directly next to you. That means the person in front of you. That means the person beside you. That means the person in the back row, in the front row, that we really, if we are the body like we should be devoted to one another. It says, honor one another above yourself. Now, this is really hard. Would you guys agree, or is that just me? Honor one another above yourself. You know what that means? You don't always get your way. You know what that means? That you don't keep record. Have you guys ever kept a record? Well, I did this, and I did that, and I did this. And they ain't done nothing, so I ain't about to do anything for them. I've done it, I confess. And you, awesome if you guys haven't. And I got to battle through that sometimes. But when you really honor someone above yourself, it's not about me anymore. It's about how can I bless? How can I love? How can I help them? Does that make sense? But how many of us, everything centers around self, about ourself and our needs and our desires, and how does this help me? Verse 11, never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Last week when I was introducing Jacob and I was talking about his faithfulness and church, it's hard sometimes when you've walked with God for a long time and you'll kind of lose that zeal. But man, we need to keep that zeal and keep that spiritual fervor in serving the Lord. And it says, be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with God's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. So this is really talking about all of those us sitting here. This is how we need to love one another, okay? And if you're not doing that, this message is for you, this message is for me, okay? If you're not doing that, this is where we need to be. We need to begin to honor one another above ourselves, quit looking at ourselves, really have a sincere love for one another. But then it goes on. And it says, bless those who persecute you, bless and do not curse. You know, sometimes it's easy to show love to those here. But what about those in the parking lot? What about those at Walmart? What about those people at work? What about those people that are ugly and mean to you? It says, bless them. Now this is where, remember what I said, why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This is where you're really going to get pressed a little bit here. Are you doing what He says? Blessing those who persecute you, rejoice with those who rejoice, and mourn with those who mourn. You know, I don't want to go too deep into all this, but mourning with people is sometimes easier than rejoicing with people. We can relate oftentimes to someone's sorrow, someone's sadness, because we've all experienced it. But rejoicing with people when something good happens to them, what happens sometimes? We get jealous. We get envious. Why are they getting praise? Why are they getting accolades? I do my job every day. I do this. I do that. I do this. I do that. Well, what are you doing? You're going back to honoring yourself instead of others. So rejoicing with people, and I would say from a sincere heart, really be happy, really be excited, really thank God for how they're being blessed. And if you can't do that, you do it and you ask God for strength in doing it. And then mourning with people who mourn, everybody mourns differently. But really just being there for people, just holding someone's hand, just giving them a hug, just dropping by, just sending them a text, just telling them that you love them. And if nothing else, you're praying for them. You're lifting them up in prayer. It says, live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. Do not be conceited. Man, I remember being in third grade. I might have told you guys this story, but I might not have. And it's weird how some kids are wired differently than others, even from an early age. And some of my buddies that I played football with, the first day of school, I knew them from football practice and everything, and we're all sitting at this table. The teacher hadn't assigned us seats yet, and we're all sitting there, and this kid that didn't have anything, that nobody really knew, he was dirty, he was poor, and it was pretty obvious, come to sit down. And I remember this so vividly. And he didn't know where to sit, and I told him he could sit at our table. And some of the other boys were like, why'd you tell him he could sit here with us? He stinks. I was too young, and that didn't really register in my head yet. But other kids, it does already. That had already started from a little third grader. Don't sit with him. He stinks. Yeah. And I felt so sorry for the kid because they could hear him. I mean, he could hear them. I said that wrong. There's nobody in this church building better than anybody else in God's eyes. It don't matter if you have $1 million or $1 in your bank account. There's nobody better. We're all created in God's image, and we better not think we're all that. or God will humble you. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Boy, is that... When I say I struggle with that, I don't mean like I'm going to go rob somebody or anything else, but you know what evil is, and I know what evil is, even for a Christian, and just someone's kind of not done things right at work, so you're going to get them back. We're not to do that. Be very careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. You know, our government needs to hear this. Our elective officials need to hear that. And our local government needs to hear that. And our managers and our bosses need to hear that. And the people that we work with need to hear that. And we need to be living that. That if it is possible, as it depends on you, to live at peace with everybody, to be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everybody. Are we really living that out? Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what I say? This is what the Bible says. Do not take revenge, my friends, but leave room for God's wrath. For it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. In this last verse here, I was trying to figure out all to read, but I wanted to read this last verse. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. See, when you're loving people, when you're truly got the love of God in you, you're going to overcome. And you're going to show people the way by the life that you live. And that person that's doing evil, that person that's paying you back wrong, that person that wants to hurt you, that person that makes a joke about you, that person that makes fun of you. You know how many times at work, man, I used to, in my younger days, we would cut each other down and make everybody laugh, and it was all done in fun, but it was really mean, you know. And y'all, there's even times now that people will say something like making fun of me, and something will pop in my head. Oh, that would make everybody laugh. That would burn them so good. I hold it in. I'm not saying I'm perfect. I don't hold it in every time, but I really try to hold it in because why? I want to overcome. I don't want people. They know I'm a preacher now. Oh, Preacher Pete, boy, he sure knows how to cut people. He sure knows how to get a laugh. No, we're to overcome evil with good, with the good living in us, with what Jesus given us. I think about the good Samaritans and the priest. And the Levites passed by the guy, but it was the Samaritan that stopped and helped. How many of us are so focused on ourselves that we don't really have time to show love? We're keeping record. Who helped me? Who did this for me? Who did that for me? Who was there when I needed them? Well, that person never called me. Remember when I was in the hospital? They didn't visit me. I ain't about to visit them. They didn't call me. They didn't do this. They didn't do that. That's not love. That's not God's love. That's selfish. You wash my back, I'll wash your back. That's the way of the world. That's not the way of God. And how many of us are truly living that out? 2 Corinthians 1, 3 and 4 says, praise be to the Lord, to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of compassion and the God of all comfort, who comforts us in all our troubles. So listen, so that we can comfort those in any troubles with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. You know that comfort that you receive when God spoke to you? Then you share that and you help those around you, those in need. Even if they weren't there, even if they weren't there for you, you comfort them. You go back to the dolphins, and why do they hunt together? Why do they circle? Why does one slap its tails while the other ones are eating? Or why do they do that? Because it's their instinct. It's what's inside of them. What's your instinct? What's inside of you? Is it to offer your compassion, your comfort that you receive from the Lord? It says in those pods that they swim together, they protect each other, and they interact with one another. Dolphins are very intelligent. Well, we're all swimming in this big fishbowl together. Are we comforting one another? Are we helping one another? You know, sometimes it's even just going up to somebody that's sitting by themselves and sitting next to them. Sometimes it's when they're running out the door, catching them and saying, "I'm so glad you were here today." Sometimes it's us getting out of our comfort zone and saying, "Hi." Sometimes it's at home getting on our knees and praying for each other. God calls us to love Him and then to love each other. When was the last time that you really examined your life and said, "How much love have I been showing? How much time am I spending on myself? Or how much time am I saying, God, how can I bless someone else? How can I show love to someone else? How can I be there for someone else?" I would really like to share some stories, but I don't want to puff myself up and make y'all feel guilty. But there's a lot of people falling through the cracks and not feeling love. And y'all, I don't do it on Pete and my ability. It's just the Lord. And there's times that I miss. There's times that I miss opportunities. There's times that I'm tired and I don't want to, and I do anyway. And there's times that I'm tired and I don't want to, and I don't. But church, He says, "Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not do what he says?" The commandments are summed up in love the Lord and love your neighbor. Are we doing that? Are we really living that out? And when I was thinking about this, and the nature of the Dolphins is to just do this, and I was thinking about it should be the nature of us, and I thought of a Jack Yancey. And many of y'all probably don't know Jack, but when I first started coming to church here, Jack preached for maybe, I don't know, 4 or 5 weeks in a row. And every sermon, whether no matter where it started or where it ended, somewhere in the sermon he would talk about Ezekiel 36:26, and it says, "I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit in you. I will remove from you your heart of stone and give you a heart of flesh." God gives us a new heart. And so that nature ought to be love. That should just be our nature. That just like the dolphins swimming and taking care of one another, that should be us. It's our nature to love one another, to make sure our needs are being met, to make sure the people around us know that we love them, know that God loves them. Share them with one another. And I'm about to finish up. Ephesians 22:24 says, You were taught with regard to your former way of life to put off your old self. My old self still rears its ugly head. I confessed at the men's meeting Wednesday night and they were all laughing at me and laughing with me. I really had a lot of struggles when I was on vacation. And it all had to do with my old self. Being selfish, I'm not getting what I want in that battle going on. Putting to death the old self, which being corrupted by its deceitful desires. See, those are the deceitful desires. What Satan puts in front of us is deceitful. It promises that you'll be fulfilled. It promises that you'll be satisfied, but sin never satisfied. Sin never fulfills, and sin in the end leads to death. And that's what those old desires lead you to. But verse 23, to be made new in the attitude of your minds and to put on the new self created to be like God in true righteousness and holiness. So in our new self, in that new heart, there should be an overflow of love. There should be an overflow of what's going on. And I was trying to decide whether I wanted to read this or not, but I just feel like I need to. John 21, and I'm going to hurry, 15. And this is familiar text. You don't have to turn there if you don't want. When they had all finished eating, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" "Yes, Lord," he said, "you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." Again, Jesus said, "Simon, son of Jonah, do you truly love me?" He answered, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." Jesus said, "Take care of my sheep." The third time he said to him, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" Peter was hurt because Jesus asked him the third time, "Do you love me?" He said, "Lord, you know all things. You know that I love you." And Jesus said, "Feed my sheep." My question to you today is, do you love him? The nature, the life ought to reflect it. If your nature has been selfish, selfish games, selfish ambition, worried about yourself all the time, this morning you need to ask God to forgive you that. Y'all, I'm not talking about more willpower. I'm not talking about doing more works. That's not what this is about. This is about God doing a transplant inside of us and giving us a new heart so that we just see things. We just recognize things. I don't have the gift of giving. Some of y'all in here do. And sometimes someone will bring something up to me and I'm like, "That's a fantastic idea. Lord, why didn't I think of that?" I have to work, so to speak, at hearing God's voice and saying, "God, what would you have me do so that I can show love?" But it's my desire, because why? Jesus is asking me, "Do you love me? Feed my sheep." How do you feed a sheep? How do you feed a sheep? Maybe a phone call. It may be baking cookies. It may be stopping by to visit. It may be taking someone to breakfast. It may be, I don't know. Maybe teaching a Sunday school. Maybe singing. Are you feeding those around you with the love that God has instilled in you? Let's stand. Lord, you know every need in this room. Father, I pray this morning if there's any that have not felt loved by those around them, that you would direct us in how to encourage. Lord, your word says in Hebrews that we are to not to forsake the fellowship and to we are to meet together to encourage one another. And Lord, I pray that if anyone needs encouragement this morning, that you would direct someone in their heart and their mind right now, Lord, of who they need to stop by and talk to, who they need to pat on the back. And Father, for the rest of us, maybe we've been so selfish and so blinded by our selfishness. Our needs, our busyness of life, our kids and school and sports and work and bills and we're just so busy. How can we possibly have time? But Lord, may you make a way in our hearts and our minds. Maybe driving down the road to give that person a call. Maybe at the ball game, walking over and sitting next to somebody. But Father, may we begin to show a love that only you can give us so that we could truly be like that, like the church in Acts, Lord, that we would have everything in common and the common goal of seeing people saved, seeing people's lives transformed, seeing people delivered from evil and become children of God. May we always have that in mind and always have that in focus and be seeking to hear your voice. Father, where our love level may have been so low, maybe we're running on empty. May you put in that new heart, that new nature today in every one of us. We wouldn't be lacking in zeal, but we would be excited, Lord, of where we can give, where we can help, where we can show your love. May you receive all the glory for this, Father. May none of us receive praise, but may we only give you glory, for it's what you've done in our lives, in our minds, that give us the ability to do this. May your will be done now with every person in this room. May we truly desire to do your will. We pray all this in Jesus' mighty name. If you need anything this morning, if you need encouragement, if you've been lacking, if you have not felt love, maybe you've recognized that you've not been given love, I'd love to pray with you, spend a few minutes with you, but however the Lord would lead.
When peace like a river attendeth my way, when sorrows like sea billows roll, whatever my lot, Thou hast taught me to say, it is well, it is well with my soul. It is well with my soul. My sin, oh, the bliss of this glorious thought. My sin. But the whole is nailed to the cross, and I bear it no more. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, oh my soul. It is well with my soul. It is well. It is well with my soul.
I do love each and every one of you so much. And I thank you guys for being here and being part of my family. Even when you're not here, you're part of my family. Even the ones that's left and gone on are still part of my family. And so I love each and every one of you so much. And if I can get a few of you guys to go back and help set up tables and chairs, about 50 tables and chairs, and, you know, when we put the two big ones in front of the bar back there, I'd appreciate it. Save me some work. And if anybody was gonna help, if you'll just come up to the front. And I'm not gonna go to the back and say goodbye to all y'all, but if you want to say goodbye to me, I'll be up here. But I do love you guys. And Wednesday we will have our men's meeting. So y'all have a blessed day.